This hour, we'll take your phone calls with Jim Barfield as we talk about his incredible project, the Copper Scroll Project. A little bit of prophecy. We'll be back with him and your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Jim Barfield with us. Jim, with regards to the Copper Scrolls, how many locations did they pinpoint for the treasures? Three, five, how many?
All of them. If you're talking about the Copper Scroll Project research, it pinpoints all 57 of them.
57 sites?
Yes. Now, that may sound ridiculous, but guys, I've sat down with National Parks Authority, the head of Qumran, the head of Masada, the main key individuals in the West Bank for archaeology. We had a conference there, and I gave them a presentation, and the lead archaeologist for the National Parks Authority, his name is Vika Zook. He told me, he said, Jim, I've only got 15 minutes. He said, I told you I'd be here for the full presentation. I can't stay. Well, I said, if I can't convince you within 15 minutes, I'm not doing my job. Well, 15 minutes into it passed, 30, 40. We were there for an hour and a half, and he was still there saying, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. So what I'm telling you is they've checked my research. They've gone through it. Even, remember what I told you, Yuval Pelek, he was saying, I think this guy's done it. He was telling the head of the Antiquities Authority. So I feel very confident that we've identified every location at that site.
When is somebody going to start excavating?
Well, here's the deal. I tried from the bottom up. I started with the bottom rung, and I started going up, and I made it to the head of the Antiquities Authority, and we actually got an excavation out of it. We excavated in April 2009. Yuval Pelek was in charge. It was his operation, not mine, and we dug, but he got a phone call about it. 2-3 hours into the excavation at the which would have been the site of the cave with the most powerful, most important, valuable artifacts. He got a call, and an hour later, we were shutting down. And we were supposed to have done five locations. We did two the next day. We stopped there. We did two the next day, and that was it. And they shut everything down. And do I believe there was a call from above in the Israeli government? Yes, I do. I believe they shut us down because, in case, what if this crazy guy from Oklahoma is right and they find something that's so incredibly valuable? Like I told you earlier, Palestinians, Egyptians, Jordanians, they're all going to want this stuff, and it belongs to Israel. There's going to be a fight over it, and not necessarily a war, but certainly a legal fight over it.
And if it belongs to Israel, how come you can't take a little piece of it? You found it.
Well, again, I just don't.
Finders keepers, right?
Yeah, I don't want people thinking, you know, I did this for that. That's not why I did it. I didn't do it for the money. I didn't do it for, matter of fact, when this is all over with, I want to come back to Oklahoma, sit down at my desk, and go back to studying again. It's been an amazing journey. And you can read all about it in Shelley Neese's book about the Copper Scroll Project. But it's you know, I want to go home. I want to spend my time with my grandchildren and you know, be a grandpa.
And you're what is called a Noahide, which means that you are a follower of the seven laws of Noah, right?
Yeah, but you know what? We all are Noahides. Let's face it. Everybody that's, you know, descended, if they believe the Bible, Noah was him and his family were the sole survivors of the flood. Well, everybody is Noahide, and there's nothing that I believe that violates Noahide laws. There's nothing that I believe would, especially because I'm a Qumran guy, I believe what they did. There's nothing I believe that violates Jewish law, and it doesn't offend Christians. I'm in a little world all my own.
What would Wendell Jones be doing now if he were still alive?
Well, I took my research to Wendell, and I bet he'd be working with me because he loved it. He and I sat down two or three times, and he looked at my research, and he just couldn't believe it. He said, oh, my gosh, this is incredibly interesting. And we sat there, And I think he'd be working with me right now if he were still alive.
He was one of a kind. He's what the movie Indiana Jones was based from, isn't he?
I think it's entirely possible.
I think it was.
He was a character. I mean, if you ever got to sit with him, and I did for a couple of nights, and he told me some of the most amazing stories. Just a funny guy.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Melinda's with us, west of the Rockies in Oregon. Go ahead, Melinda.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I was just wondering what your guest thought about, you know, the copper plates, and what about the if you thought it had anything like the Mormon golden plates, and because also they had brought up the Melchizedek.
All right, any similarities there, Jim?
No, there's no similarities. The only similarity that I've identified, and I'm not that familiar with the Mormon religion, but the Melchizedek order is an amazing, and that's one of the big benefits that are going to come from the Copper Scroll. If we find that cave, there's going to be vast amounts of information come out about the Melchizedek order. There's no doubt about it, and that would, I'm sure, interest the Mormons, because I am aware that they're very much into the Melchizedek order.
Gosh, all you have to do is discover one of these 50-some areas, huh?
Yeah, especially the cave, because I promise you, inside the cave, that's where they found all of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
And that's right. A kid found them, didn't he?
Yeah. He was a little boy. He started the collection. Archaeologists and Bedouins formed the place after that. But inside of the cave that I'm talking about, there's going to be vast amounts of gold, silver, gems, vessels, and maybe some incredible Bible relics. But the most important thing to me, there's going to be scrolls in there. Undoubtedly, there's going to be a vast amount of scrolls, and there's going to be knowledge in there, biblical knowledge, that is going to affect every single one of us.
Are you going to be part of that, you hope?
I really hope so. I mean, you know what? If they give me anything out of this deal, me and my buddies that are really working hard on this, we want to be there whenever they bring those items out of that cave and dig them out of the ground. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? It'd be amazing.
Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hey, Michael.
Hi, George and Jim Barfield. I've been standing here praying that God would give me the right words to say to you. I think you are taking this way too lightly. You talked about Israeli officials who think, well, maybe it's best to leave well enough alone. Let this great truth of history remain hidden. That is the kind of blasphemy that caused Israel to lose their land in the first place. They didn't want the world to understand that the promised Messiah, who was raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, healing every kind of sickness, was there and alive on time, as your research and scrolls described. So, America and Israel, if you don't have the guts to stand up for the truth of history as it is revealed in gold and silver and stone, you're doomed.
What do you say about that, Jim?
I like this guy. I like what he's saying. They've got everybody that has any influence has got to talk to Israel. Now, guys, listen to this. The Israelis are in a far different situation than we are. We're on the other side of the world from them. They're the ones that get rockets launched in, you know, practically on a weekly basis. So they have got a very touchy situation over there. And I understand their reluctance, but not me, not this gentleman that was just on, not Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, mm-hmm. is going to rush God's timing. It's just not going to happen. There's a specific time this stuff is going to come out. It's going to be exactly when God wants it to. And I'm just the guy that's pounding the table over here, just like the gentleman just did, saying, let's get this stuff out of the ground and let's make these things come together. But there's also going to be some dangerous things that could come with it. So I understand the reluctance, but I'm with him. You know, let's stand up and be who we're supposed to be, do what we're supposed to be, and I think God would honor that.
This article by Adam Berkowitz, where was that published?
Adam Berkowitz?
Yeah, he wrote this article about you.
Eliyahu Berkowitz.
Yep.
He's in Israel.
I mean, but where did he publish this article?
With Breaking Israel News.
Okay. Did you get much response to it?
Yeah, I did. I got a lot of response to it. Most of the response is from the United States, but there is some response in Israel. There's been several articles. Shelley even wrote an article for the Jerusalem newspapers about this. And they were terrified that, you know, people were going to go out there and rob Qumran. Well, that didn't happen. It's not going to happen because that's a well-protected area.
We go next to Elliot in North Dakota. Hi, Elliot. Go ahead.
Hi. How's it going, gentlemen?
Good.
I just was curious, a little troubled, honestly. I think Acor also means trouble.
It does, yes.
And I think, doesn't it also state in Jeremiah how the ark should not be looked for and it won't be found? I just wanted to point out one other quick thing. Everyone knows about 666 in Revelation.
Yeah.
But the number actually appears another time in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives you a clue where to find it even. Let he who has wisdom calculate. Well, 666 was the yearly talent income
That's
for
right.
King Solomon.
Gold.
And I think this is bad news. I wouldn't want to be there when this stuff comes out.
You don't think they should discover it?
Well, perhaps what will be, but I don't want to have my hand anywhere near it.
What do you think of that, Jim?
I think he's right. There is going to be some very difficult times that come. But, again, you know, the world and prophecy doesn't rotate around Jim Barfield, not even remotely. This is God's thing. It's already been written. We know what's coming. Now we need to prepare for that and be smart about it. And that's why I say we're going to let the Israelis, because that's their playground, and we need to honor that and respect that. But he's right. 666 was the number of talents that was given out. That was a gold allotment each year that came in. So is there a possibility that the Antichrist is going to be? I believe he's already in existence. And who he is, I don't have a clue. But that's not my concern. I believe that God has allowed me to see this. I'm a good investigator. I was a good investigator. But, guys, this all happened way too easily for me. And I believe that God gave it to me at some point in my life. He laid it in my lap.
It was a gift.
Yeah, it was a gift to me. And I'm gonna do my job. And when it's time to stop, I'll stop. And when it's time to go, I'm going to go.
Tom, you have a text or tweet for us back there in L.A.?
We do. This is from Richard in Sarasota, Florida. Please ask the guest if the Qumran Bible is the same as the modern Bible.
Yes, it is.
It is. Some modifications, but it's very similar.
Yeah, there's been some talk of a Book of Matthew, but as far as the New Testament goes, they haven't said that there's any. But there certainly is, and it confirms the Old Testament in a big way.
Where do you think the Ark of the Covenant might be, Jim?
In the cave that I've been telling you about.
Same cave?
Yep, because Maccabees says that they put, that Jeremiah and Baruch and his men, in 2 Maccabees, it says, 2 Maccabees, 2nd chapter, it says that they took all those implements, took them in the cave, sealed the cave. Well, that cave, that location that I've been telling you about, there was some mortar we found there. We had it tested in Skokie, Illinois, and it came back high probability that mortar was man-made. Now, why would mortar be at a cave 300 meters to the northwest of Qumran, out in the wilderness. Why would they have man-made mortar there at a spot that I believe the cave is at? Because the description of that cave matches the one at on the Dead Sea Scroll, the Copper Scroll, exactly.
You know, if these treasures were in Egypt, they already would have been uncovered, discovered, and already taken out.
Yes. I totally agree with you.
Let's go to Randy in Louisiana. Randy, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Welcome, sir.
Do you think there's a timeline for the Israelis to dig this up since they're holding off on this?
Is there a timeline, Jim, or what?
No, I don't believe they're holding off based on any timeline. I believe they're holding off because of their fear of the biggest thing is political. There's going to be some political backlash undoubtedly about this.
And who gets the gold and silver and all that.
Gold.
Yeah. That's probably – do you think they have found some of the locations?
You know, no, I don't, because I have people that go out there and check periodically to make sure that there's no digging taking place, not just because, you know, it's not that I don't trust the Israelis. That's theirs.
Yeah.
But I don't want anybody else getting in there either. But they've got a really good protection system out there.
Why were there 50-some locations? Why not just a couple places and put it all in there?
Well, there were five men that buried the items. Why five men? It's because if they had 100 men divided between them, 20 guys per team, they buried this gold and silver within the Qumran ruins.
They were hedging their bets, I guess.
There you go. You have one team out there at a time. They bury theirs. The next team comes on. You know, if one of those guys went bad, they're only going to lose, you know, 20% of the treasure. But it appears that there's been nothing tampered with since the time of Jeremiah.
Well, and this was an era where they were invaded, killed, prosecuted, persecuted all over the place. So they were probably trying to protect their own interests.
Yeah, because Qumran had been attacked. It had been attacked, and the people that attacked them, which were the Babylonians, they didn't know that it was a fortress for gold, silver, and gems. They were the Hakaz family, which was the treasurers. They had a location there. It looked like a big pyramid with the top cut off. Walls were like 10 feet thick, and that's where the treasury was at. That's where they kept the gold and silver. They've been looking for that spot for years. Well, duh, there it is. The Copper Scroll talks about it and describes it exactly.
If it were discovered in any of these locations, how would one get it out of the country if they felt it was theirs? There's no way, is there?
No. The Israelis are incredibly intelligent guys. I'm telling you, they're really smart fellows and ladies. It would be easy to get it out of the ground, but it wouldn't be easy to get it out of Israel. There things are so tight, especially that area. You can't go in and out of there without going through a checkpoint.
Jim, how about a website for people?
Yeah, the Copper Scroll Project. Just Google that, the Copper Scroll Project, and you'll find it. And you guys have been nice enough to put Shelley's website on there.
Yep, Shelley Neese.
Shelley Neese, yeah.
N-E-E-S-E, by the way.
Go to the website, look up the disclosure, and you'll be able to see in detail the things that I've been talking about, and I didn't have any graphics for you, obviously.
Okay, Jim, we're going to come back in a moment and take final phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Our final segment here with Jim Barfield as we talk about the Copper Scroll Project. Jim, the Copper Scroll Project, of course, a lot of people like to hear prophecy based on end times prophecy, like the Book of Revelation. The significance of the Copper Scroll Project, you would say, would be what?
The Copper Scroll Project, if we actually find these items at the place where punch your stopwatch, because that will begin, all of the prophetic items begin to happen at that point. I'm absolutely sure of that. You're not going to find the Ark of the Covenant without some tremendous backlash. And or you know, some really good things happening. And because, listen, it's all about the coming Messiah. It's all about, biblically speaking, it's about 1,000 years of peace. And, guys, my biggest goal, I got 14 grandchildren, and I want them to grow up in a world at peace.
Good for you. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi, Wayne.
Good morning, Sir George and Mr. Kim. I'm wondering if you've ever looked at satellite X-ray technology to look for these things, because I know I've read 15, 20 years ago that they discovered in clay pots in caves that have never been opened in Israel scrolls by satellite X-ray technology, and I'm thinking this might be a good tool to utilize.
What do you think of that, Jim?
I think it's a great idea, but it's incredibly expensive. What we have done is this. There's a Knesset member. He was the deputy speaker of the Knesset, Moshe Feiglin. He went with me to Qumran because they wouldn't let me scan. They wouldn't just let me simply walk across the ground and scan with a very powerful metal detector. And he said, this is on me. He said, this is, I'll do the operation, and I've got diplomatic immunity. Let's go. So he goes there. We get questioned by the guard. He calls the main people down at the main gate, and apparently they said, let him go. And we scanned 4 locations at Qumran, and every single one of them had major indications of non-ferrous and ferrous metals, non-ferrous meaning gold, silver, brass, that sort of thing. Ferrous is iron. But we got some major hits, especially at the cave. It went off the charts. That detector just went crazy. So it's a great idea, but it's incredibly expensive. But yes, we have scanned it, so I am very confident that there's items are still there.
Isn't it strange, though, that the Israeli government hasn't made a concerted effort to find these places?
They know about it. Like I said, I gave the head of the ADCA, Hananya Hizmi, I gave him a personal presentation at his office in Ma'al Adumim in Israel. So they're well aware of it, but he's the same guy that said, Mr. Barfield, sometimes we just need to wait. So
what are they waiting for?
It's like I told you, they're concerned about being the right time. They're concerned about the issues that could be produced by bringing these things out of the ground.
Let's go to Tom in La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Thank you, George, for taking my call. Jim, great research. Really appreciate it. My quick comment and a question. Mm-hmm. You know, the community that produced the scrolls, the Dead Sea Scrolls, mm-hmm. and the Copper Scrolls, also produced John the Baptist and Jesus. And today, in the 21st century, we view Israel as a country. But is it possible that Israel is a state of mind? And even more importantly, that everybody on planet Earth is a potential Israelite?
I think that's entirely possible. I think that state of mind will become a reality, an actual regathering of the tribes of Israel. I mean, that's prophecy. If you believe the Bible, then you got to believe that. But, yeah, I think it's a possibility. I had DNA testing done, and I've got a lot of what is called Sephardic Jewish blood in my background, and my wife has Ashkenazi Jewish, a lot of it. So I think it's entirely possible that the majority of the people in the world have got some Israeli background. And they're already finding a lot of the lost tribes through DNA testing and just from history.
First-time caller Roger in Tennessee. Welcome to the show, Raj. Go ahead.
First, I'd like to make a statement. I've been feeling down lately, and this has really blessed my heart tonight. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Now, concerning the different sites, Did you ever apply biblical numerology to anything?
Yeah, actually, I have. And the biblical numerology really comes to bear whenever you're talking about the dating. You got to be careful with that because, and we've even done some Bible code research on it, and it was it's incredible what we found. Just everything about the tabernacle was all in one single location, and covered the exact same things that we're talking about tonight. But yes, we have done that, but it's mainly with dating.
It's amazing how prophecy works, isn't it, Jim?
It is. It's incredible, and it's very, very accurate.
Who laid it all out? Anybody's guess. We can guess. Kelly in Moline, Illinois, welcome. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome. Thank you.
This is a very fascinating subject. I've been researching this myself by way of the Bible my entire life. I think you're missing the point, George. This is not really a treasure. What it is artifacts. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant here. We're talking about the mercy seat. We're talking about the priestly robes that are needed for the temple that's going to be rebuilt in the end times. The huge golden bowl that they drained the blood from the sacrifices into, things of this nature. These aren't things that a man wants to take a piece of and sell for to enrich himself. This is stuff that is priceless. This is stuff that God gave instructions to the priests of Aaron's priests to build for the temple and to talk to him. And these things are priceless. The whole world depends on this. And I think the reason that this man was shut down from finding and digging these things up is because it's all about timing, the timing of when these things are brought up, the temple has to be rebuilt. And right now, the Dome of the Rock, the mosque is on the Dome of the Rock, and they have to rebuild that temple. Otherwise, it's going to cause the whole world to go into chaos. I mean, like he said, people are going to be fighting over all this, claiming rights to it. And these are things that belong to God. I mean, just think of the Ark of the Covenant was found right now.
Oh, my God, that'd be amazing.
World, you know?
Sure would. Well, let me ask you, Jim, the Ark of the Covenant, if it is discovered based on the Bible, did it not say that anybody who comes in contact with it could die?
Yeah, that's a matter of fact, I told my number two guy, Chris Knight, he's going in the cave first. Make sure that it's safe for me to get in there.
Yeah, protect yourself, right?
Yeah, I'm joking, of course, but this lady that just spoke, she was dead on, and except for one thing. And I think she'll agree with this, is if, in fact, the tabernacle of Moses is in there, that was the portable temple that they carried around. It was a tabernacle. If it's in there, they don't have to have the Temple Mount. They could set that tabernacle up at Shiloh. They could set it up at Gilgal, the places that it was originally when it came in. And all of those things could begin at that point. I mean, within a month. After, you know, we got to have the ashes of the red heifer to get it cleaned up. And that's a strange thing, but it's got to happen. But then all these things could begin, so we don't have to have the temple to make this stuff happen.
Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Yeah, Joe, sure.
Jim, what if they find extraterrestrial artifacts? What a disclosure that would be.
Oh, that would be amazing. What do you think, Jim?
Well, you're going to get me into a subject that I try to avoid. I know some things, and I've seen some things, but I catch enough heck from the guys with PhDs that I'm going to avoid that question for now.
So what have you seen? You brought it up.
It would be. You'd be surprised, and it was incredible.
Out of this world?
It was incredible, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Tom, you've got another final text or tweet for Jim?
Yeah, final one from Carrie in Washington State. I hope I didn't miss it, but please ask the guest what period the Dead Sea Scrolls were written.
580-something B.C. Am I correct there, Jim?
Well, actually, it was a little later than that because I disagree with the dating of the destruction of the temple. My research on that verifies some. The Jewish people have a much different dating as well. There's a guy named Mattis Cantor that has a Jewish timeline of the encyclopedia, and it matches up incredibly well with mine. Now, here's the deal, guys. With the Copper Scroll, it doesn't matter when it was written, whether it was in, you know, at time of Adam. It doesn't matter. As long as the item or the features, the architecture of Qumran is still there, it doesn't matter when it was written. Those things, you know, I'd be happy if it was written. A lot of people think it's a Mishnaic document. I disagree, but let's say it is. It's not about when it was written. It's about that it was written, and hopefully and prayerfully, that stuff is still there.
Well, I got to tell you, what was easier to discover, the Dead Sea Scrolls or the Copper Scroll?
Oh, the Dead Sea Scrolls, without doubt, because there's so many of them, so many caves, like 12 caves, I can't remember for sure, 11. But the Copper Scroll was hidden in Cave 3. Remember, the roof had collapsed, and it was hidden behind. It was almost like it was protected from being discovered until the right time. And, guys, it's all about timing.
Sure is. Let's go to Deborah in Peoria, Illinois. Hey, Deborah, go ahead.
Yes, I told the gentleman I was taking a cat nap, but when I came to, I was listening to Mr. Barfield speak.
Ah.
And oh my God, I love what you're talking about. I've been looking in, my sister and I have been looking into this for years. I grew up in the Jewish community with, they mentored my father, and they are one of the most kind, accepting people I think I've ever met. And I am, kudos to them. That's what I told the gentleman that answered the phone. Kudos to the Jewish people. May it take place when it's supposed to. And Mr. Barfield, thank you.
You're very, very welcome, and I'm with you. I'm in total support of Israel and my Jewish brothers.
Next up, let's go to Kathleen in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, this is Kathleen.
First-time caller. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling about religion today.
All right.
Mary and Jesus, they're the same person. And Jesus is with Mary, and Mary is with Jesus. But Jesus cannot become Mary until Mary gets married. How's that?
Well, that's an interesting theory. I'm not sure I would accept that. Jim, how about you?
That's a little bit out of my ballpark. I've never heard that before.
Are there going to be any tours or anything into Israel for this project?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there are. We're planning a tour right now for May, and if people are interested in going, and I'm going to take you out to Qumran and show you the location so you can tell your friends, this guy wasn't kidding. Because to actually look at the sites and read the document, you just go, oh, my goodness, this is incredible. So, yes, we're doing that, and I speak. So if you guys want me to come speak at your location, if you'll provide a way for my wife and me to get there, because I always want her to go with me, it's a motel room where we can stay for the night. And then, you know, if they provide an honorarium, and, they don't even have to do that. If they'll just get us there, I want to tell you about what's coming because I think it's that important. But you got to have a good multimedia set up because I've got a really heavy multimedia graphics program to present to you.
Do you get called to conferences and things like that?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I've been all over the country. And in Israel, I've been over there talking. So, yeah, I've been all over the country.
I don't think I've met you in person, though, have I?
No, I've never met you. I'd know you because I've seen you on so many different shows that I'd know you and I'd talk to you.
Jim, keep up the good work, my friend. Keep pushing, doing what you do. Would you give out your website again?
Yes, Copper Scroll Project, all one word, .com.
And you accept emails through that website?
Oh, yes, and I love for people to write to me. And seriously, I will come and speak at your location if you'll do those simple things.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim. Good having you on the program. Fascinating discussion. I love ancient prophecy and ancient mysteries. It's just amazing. Lots going on this week. Stick with us for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.